This morning, and you're doubting the love of God for you, and you're saying, well, if you just knew what I had done, how many times I failed the Lord, I want to remind you, God loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. God commendeth, he showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died. And salvation takes place when you say, Christ died for me. And you place your faith in the work of Christ. What a great truth that God loves us. Romans chapter 8 this morning, my favorite chapter in the Word of God. I could probably preach from Romans chapter 8 for a year. I mean, it's just got so many great things. Don't worry, we're not going to this morning. Although I have to admit, I've been working on this sermon for about a week. And the problem with working on a message a long time is it gets longer and longer and longer. And I can't be like Pastor Jody and said, now I'm not going to finish this message this morning because David Velasquez is preaching tonight, our Spanish pastor, and so I've got to finish this morning. So we'll move as quickly as we can, and when the time's up, we'll quit, all right? And you said, amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that a holy, righteous God loves us. Wow. I am overwhelmed by your love this morning. And I pray if there are people here today who are doubting whether you love them, that your Spirit would come to them as he has to me this morning and assure them of his love. There are people here this morning who are not sure of heaven. We pray that before they leave this building, they'll receive Christ and become a child of God. And Lord, for those who are believers, for those who have been adopted into God's family, we pray that today they would see the purpose of that and the great future that we have as children of God. Bless your word, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know of someone who has been adopted? You know someone who's been adopted. All right, good, wonderful. Probably most of you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? A child is born in a family where, for some reason, they're not able to care for that child. And another family that is not related, it's not their physical child, will come in and adopt that child and rear that child and will spend money and time and effort and all of those things, sacrifice a great deal to raise a child that is not naturally their own child. That's a wonderful thing. Did you know that in the Bible, the word adoption is found 5 different times? Now, I want to just take a moment before I get to our text and talk to you about Roman adoption. Every one of these words, adoption, is found in the writings of Paul, who was a Jew, but he was a Roman citizen. So when he was preaching or speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about adoption, I'm sure he had in mind Roman adoption. And Roman adoption is much different than our adoption today. In fact, it's really the exact opposite. Roman adoption was practiced when a child in the family, usually the son, the heir, was a delinquent son, was not a good son, was not worthy to receive the inheritance. And so the father would go find a young man, possibly even a slave, and he would adopt them into the family to become the heir of that family. So it's quite different than what we're used to. And so the father would choose to take that boy out of one family and would sever all ties with that family and bring him into his own family, and he would become the heir of that family, and he would rule the family, run the family, and of course inherit all the things of that family. Now, today, if you have been born again, if you have received Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. And that means a whole lot. In fact, this morning, I want to show you four different things that occurs when you get adopted into the family of God. And our main text is Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and then we'll look at Galatians chapter 4 after a while also. But first of all, looking in Romans chapter 8, we'll read verse 14 through 17. And he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit," here's our word, "of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God." Now listen to this phrase. "And joint heirs with Christ." I'd like to just skip to point number four, and you'd like me to do that too, I'm sure, and just talk about that. Great truth. "If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So four great truths this morning about adoption. Number one, when you're adopted into the family of God, you get a new freedom. A new freedom. You may not realize it now, but when you were born a sinner. Now, we were just in Florida with our grandchildren and their precious grandchildren. Lily just turned 6, Owen is 3. I'll just be real honest with you. It was real obvious to me they were born sinners. I guess that's a terrible thing to say about your grandchildren, but all children are born sinners. We are born with a sinful nature. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We are naturally born sinners. Before salvation, in fact, even after salvation, if you do what comes naturally, you will sin. Because you're born with this sinful nature. But it really is worse than that. Now, you're in Romans chapter 8. Flip back one page to Romans chapter 6. And not only are you born a sinner, but in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the," what's the next word? "Servants of sin." When you were born, you were bound by sin. You were a servant of sin. Verse 19, we find the same truth, the middle of the verse. "For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." He's saying, when you were born bound by sin. And boy, I think of the demoniac of Gadara. The man who had legions of devils and demons in him, controlling him. And the Bible says that they tried to control him, they could not. He lived in the graveyard, if you can imagine. And cut himself and tore his clothes off, and they tried to put chains on him to stop him from doing those things, and they couldn't do it. He could not be controlled because he was bound by sin. Simple matter of fact is, when we are born, we're bound by sin. And I want you to stop for a moment and remember when you got saved. If you're a believer today. Now, if you're like me, I was saved when I was 6 years old. And we used to joke. We had a singing group from our church, our high school group, and we had to give testimonies. And we used to joke, we were saved out of the gutters of sin at 6 years old, you know, and wicked lifestyle, you know. But simple matter of fact is, we were bound by sin. And we, folks, before you get saved, you're a sinner by birth, by nature, and you are bound by sin, and you're full of all the guilt and the anxiety and the fear of judgment and all of those things. And when you get adopted, when you turn to Christ for salvation, you are adopted in the family of God, something amazing takes place. And you're in Romans chapter 6, and I want you to just look at the words that Paul uses to describe this. In verse 2, he says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin?" Well, that's a change. Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed or be made of none effect." Hey, look, folks, before salvation, you don't have the power to have victory over sin. You get adopted into God's family, something amazing takes place. There's freedom from the power of sin. Hey, listen to this. Believer, you don't have to sin. You don't. Now, the devil will tell you do. You don't. You have been freed from the bondage of sin. And I just gave you a couple. Look at a couple more verses. Verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust of life. Look, he's saying, don't let it reign over you. Now, if he's saying that, that means it's possible. It's possible. Look in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you've been adopted in the family of God, my friend. You've got a new father. We're going to see that in a minute. When I was a bus director for years, we had a bus meeting on Saturday mornings. And one of the verses that I think was so great for us as bus workers was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And what Paul is saying is, if you are controlled by sin, it's a sign you've not been adopted. But I love the next verse. And this is the one, because to be honest with you, we had some bus captains at the time that if you had looked at their lives before salvation, we just talked about it in that verse. And it says, and such were some of you, controlled by sin. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, which means set apart, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Look, before salvation, my friend, you were bound by sin. Sin's too powerful. It's your nature. It controls you. It is what you do. You get adopted. There's a new freedom. There's a new freedom. You become a child of God. Sin shall no more have dominion over you. But then I want you to flip back to Romans 8. And there's a freedom not only from the power of sin, but also there is a freedom from the law. I tell you what, I've got you there, but I'm going to have you flip to Galatians chapter 4. You can hold your place there in Romans 8. We'll be back. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, folks, I've got a lot of notes here. You're going to have to move those pages faster than that. Come on. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, listen, to redeem them that were, notice the next phrase, under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When you are born under the law. Now, when most people think of the law of God, what do they think of? Ten Commandments. Is that all the law of God there is? No, there isn't. In fact, in my Bible reading, I finished reading through Leviticus. There's the Levitical law, the law of rituals and sacrifices. I am right in the middle of Deuteronomy. Whoopee! You know, it's like, oh boy. That's all God's law. But what does the law do? If you go out soul winning much and talk to people, you're going to talk to somebody who said, and you say, if you died today, you know you're going to heaven. Oh, yes, I do. How do you know? Because I have obeyed the Ten Commandments. Well, number one, they haven't. Like the first one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. Not happened. No. But there was a rich young ruler who came to the Lord who thought he'd kept them all. Remember that story? What did the Lord say? Okay, you're a rich guy. Go sell all you have. Now, what was he saying? Was he teaching you got to give your money away to be saved? No. What was he saying? You've broken the commandment which says, thou shalt not covet. The law cannot save you, my friend. In fact, we are under the curse of the law. We are condemned by the law. It shows us that we've come short of the glory of God. You cannot enter heaven today because you've broken God's law. You know, the Bible says the law is a tutor. It's a teacher. Now, when I think of a teacher, remember that first grade teacher you had? Guys, you had a crush on her, you know, she was so sweet and all that stuff. Your first love, you know. We have any first grade teachers here? We have Larry, you're, oh, Larry did. You're not a first grade teacher, though. I got you. Okay, good. We have one. All right. Good. And I'm sure you have students that write you love. Oh, we love you so much. This is not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is what I had when I was taking piano lessons. Have you ever had a piano teacher who had a ruler? And you played a wrong note. Ha! You know, no, wrong note, no. You know, it's painful. That's what the law is. And it just beats you down, and it beats you down, and it beats you down. And you're born under the law. Now, here's great news, folks. When you get adopted, guess what? You're taken out from under the law. There is freedom from the law. You are no longer bound by sin. You are no longer bound by the law. And by the way, you know the reason for that. Christ, who kept the law, became a curse for us and took our punishment upon himself. And he kept the whole law, and then he paid our price for our law breaking. And I'll just be honest with you. When I'm reading through Deuteronomy right now, I just keep saying, praise God, I'm not under the law. And I read through Leviticus and I read those sacrifices and I just say, praise God, I don't have to do that. I'm not under the law. I don't have to keep all that stuff. No, Christ became my curse, and because of that, I am no longer under the law. Oh, here's a good thing. When the slave was adopted to be the son, where's Perkins at? There he is back there. When the slave gets adopted, guess what he gets? A new robe. That feels pretty good. I might just leave that off. He takes that old filthy, stinking, rotten garment. You know what he gets? He gets a brand new robe. And when you get saved, when you get adopted in the family of God and your sins are forgiven, God takes that old stinking, filthy sin you've had for all your life, and he robes you in the robe of righteousness. Woo! Shout amen there, Ed. Isn't that good? When you get adopted in the family of God, folks, you got a new freedom. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us. And I love this last phrase. What is it? Once for all. Wow. When you're adopted, you have a new freedom. Hey, secondly, when you're adopted, you get a new father. You get a new father. I suppose this is probably not the greatest soul-winning technique, but there are times when I've been witnessing to people and I said, you know, you realize that every unsaved person, their father is the devil. They don't like that. But you know, it's true. In fact, in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said to a group of people, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. Now, you say, well, he was probably talking to murderers, adulterers, wicked, terrible people, right? What kind of people was he talking to? Pharisees. You know the life a Pharisee lived? They said, God has given us his law, and we don't want to break his law, so we're going to make other laws to make sure we don't break those laws. And to make sure we don't break those laws, we're going to make other laws. So they lived this strict life of law-keeping, and Jesus said to them, you religious, law-keeping people, ye are of your father, the devil. We are born children of the devil, children of disobedience, children of wrath. And you know what? If you do what comes naturally, born into that family, again, you're going to lie, you're going to steal, you're going to cheat, you're going to commit sexual sins, you're going to act like your father. That's how we're born. Now, here's the great truth. The moment you say, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, and you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're adopted into his family. And not only do you get a new freedom from sin and the law, you get a new father. You get a new father. No longer are you a father of the devil. In fact, you can look back in Romans chapter 8. And it's a great verse in verse 15. It says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's the law. But ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that's an Aramaic word which means papa or daddy. Whatever you would call your dad, the tender thing. Now, it's all different around here, but whatever, you know, I call my dad. I don't call him papa. I call him dad. That's my affectionate name for him. You know, this term is used three times in the New Testament. Twice in the context of adoption. Do you know the other one? You know the third one? It's in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. And Jesus is talking to his father. And he says, Abba, Father. Now think about this. When you got saved, you were cut off from the old father. You were placed with a new father. And you can address him the same way that Jesus Christ, his son, did. Abba, Father. Think about that. When you get saved. When you get adopted into the family of God. And you get all the privileges that go with sonship. If you're a dad here today, think about all the things you do for your children. Or have done for your children. You're there to protect your children. Provide for your children. Guide your children. Help your children. And that's exactly what your father wants to do. Your heavenly father. You know, growing up, kids used to argue about, my dad's better than your dad because my dad can do this. Hey, I got good news for you. If your dad is God, you win. You know, my dad can do anything. He really can. He really can. I was doing a lot of work for Sarah, and she had, Joe keeps telling the whole church, I can do anything. He can fix anything. He can fix anything. And so they got this crazy ball, and they blew it up. They were playing around outside in the back, and there was a couple floodlights, and they were not on. Didn't work. So I thought, well, I'll just throw a couple bulbs in there, and I put them in, and they still didn't work. And one of these college-age young men said, I thought he could fix anything. Smack that boy. Hey, Christian, when you got saved, you got a new father. And hallelujah, he can do anything. He can do anything. And my, aren't you glad, believer, when you have a need, you can say, oh, daddy, I need help. I need guidance. I need strength. And God the Father is just there to help you with every need you have. My friend, you get a new father. A new father. Oh, and by the way, back in verse in Romans chapter 8, there is a witness to help you know he is your father. In Roman times, you know what they did? They didn't have computers and the paperwork and all that stuff we have today. You know, if you get adopted today, you have to sign the papers, do all this thing. They didn't have all that. They had seven witnesses. You had to have seven witnesses to an adoption. Because as time went on, when the father died and they're going to divide up all the inheritance, what are the natural kids going to say? Well, you're not in our family. You don't get anything. But they had seven witnesses. You say, what happened if one of them died? You still had six. You say, well, what if one more? You still got five. And when the father died and the inheritance is being handed out, you got a witness. Hey, Christian, look at this. Look at this. In verse 16, the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many witnesses do you have that you're a child of God? You got one. Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, how do you know if you have it? When somebody gets up and sings about God's love and it touches your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God says, yeah, that's you. And somebody gets up and they say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Spirit of God says, that's you. And the Spirit gets with our spirit and gives us that assurance that we're adopted, that we're in the family of God, we have a new father. Oh, I've got to hurry. Number three. You guys get me off on these rabbit trails and I won't get done. A new freedom, a new father. Number three, a new family. A new family. And who are the people in the family? You get adopted into God's family. How many of you have been adopted into God's family? You've been born again. You know what? You're my brothers and sisters. We've been adopted in the same family. Isn't that something? Foster, you're my brother, aren't you? We were a while back, I don't know where we were, Foster. I paid for something. I told the guy I was his brother, and he didn't look like he believed me. But we are. We are. He's my brother in Christ. Brother in Christ. What a blessing. And you know what the Bible also says? We become joint heirs with Jesus. Not only are you my brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? Jesus is my brother. We're joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? We're going to talk about that in the last point. Hang in there. Now, what's the purpose of the family? Now, if we were to kind of mix all you guys up and then throw your parents in there, we could probably have a pretty good idea who was related. People have often said, when my kids were young, one looked like me and one act like me. They're both cursed. But they both are married and they're happy and they're doing fine. But our family, well, there's a family resemblance, isn't there? For years, people were really bothered because I don't have much hair. And my dad would come to visit and he had all kinds of hair. He's wearing a toupee, folks. Come on. I mean, be serious. Why don't I have any? Because it's my dad's fault. Although they say it's through the mother. I don't know, genetic. But anyway, I know this. My dad's bald and so are my two brothers and myself. So, and it's, I've got the least of all and theirs is leaving quickly. There's a family resemblance. You know what? God placed you in his family. You know what he wants to do? He wants you to make you to look like your brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Before salvation, your father was a devil. And hallelujah, there are a lot of times we looked like him. We acted like him. When you get saved, you've got a new father. And the work of God is to change you and to make you like the Father, like the Son. Changing us. Oh, I love 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we've often used Jim Berg saying, it's the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God to make you like the Son of God. Hey, let me ask you a question. How's your family resemblance, Christian? Do you look like your father? Do you look like your brother? That ought to be changing all the time in your life, folks. From glory to glory. Changing you. Getting in the Word of God. And you read the Word of God and God says, oh, Gary, that's you. Oh, my, that's bad. And I have to say, oh, God, forgive me. God, change me. Make me like you. Folks, you're placed into God's family. Jesus Christ is your elder brother. And God has placed you in the family to change you, to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ, to conform you and to change you into his image. And that only happens as you spend time in the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and to change you. By the way, if you're still in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, I think this is the leading of the Spirit of God. Notice it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I really believe, and this is my opinion, that this is the leading he's talking about. Now, I know if we have a need of direction, we can turn to God the Father and he can give us direction. But this, I believe, is the Spirit of God. And as we're going through life, he says, Gary, you shouldn't do that. If you're going to be like me, you can't do that. And it's the Spirit of God leading us to Christ-likeness. And he's changing us, and he's working in our lives. Now, through the new birth, we become sons of God. We receive divine seed that enables us to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passing away, all things becoming new. And my friend, I tell you, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm saved, but I have no desire to become like Christ, something's wrong. You better check up and make sure you're in the family. You better check up and make sure you've got the right father. If you have no desire for spiritual things, no desire to please God, no desire to change, I wonder if you've gotten in the family. So, a new freedom, a new father, a new family. Number four, a new future. A new future. You see, folks, you are certain of the inheritance. Did you know that an adopted child cannot be disinherited? You can disinherit your own kids if you want to. Legally, you can't disinherit an adopted child. Hey, I've got news for you. I've been adopted. And I've got an inheritance. I am a joint heir with Jesus. That's amazing. I wish I could describe that. I don't even know what that means. A joint heir with Christ. You see, John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, or the authority to be the sons of God." Folks, I am adopted into the family of God. And folks, I got an inheritance that's coming. Now look at the inheritance. This is kind of strange. Look in verse 15. How about 17? Would you believe 17? "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ." Now notice, we think of being an inheritance, we think of something good. But look, "if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Did you know that part of your inheritance as a believer is suffering? "All that live righteous shall suffer persecution." Jesus Christ suffered because of sinful men, sinful environment, not because of his own sin. He suffered when he took our sin upon him. Part of our inheritance is suffering. And I'll be honest with you, I know some of you folks, and I know some of the suffering you've been through because of sin, because of the ravages of sin, because of the natural effects of sin that we're all born with. And there is some suffering involved. But I'm so glad that verse doesn't stop there. But if so be that we suffer with him, notice, that we may be also glorified together. There's going to be a day when our adoption is complete. In fact, this talks about it. Look at verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You know what my inheritance is? Now, my dad gave me this. My dad and mom. Okay, if you're going to blame anybody, blame them. Okay? Now, what I've done with it since they gave it to me, that's a different story. But I've got great news. There's going to be a day when my father is going to give me a new body, a glorified body, a perfect body. In fact, it's going to be a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine the glorified body. Wow. But not only that, it's going to be in a glorified place. You know, there's going to be a day when there's no more sin, no more sickness, no more suffering, nor temptation. All of that's going to be gone. You're going to have a new body. We're going to be the sons of God. We're going to be like him. Wow. And then we're going to have this inheritance. And listen to this. Boy, I wish I had more time. Hebrews 1:2 says that Christ is the heir of all things. Okay? So Christ is going to inherit all things. Now remember, what are we? We're joint heirs. So what are we going to inherit? Wow. Now here's the amazing thing. Look in verse 18 and I'm done. Okay? It says, "For I reckon," that's a great southern word, isn't it? Well, you reckon it's going to rain today? You know, that's not what it means. Reckon here is an accounting term. You CPAs out there, Mr. Farmer, this is your term right here. For I reckon, I put it down on paper, and I put the weight of one on one side, the weight on the other side. It says, the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now think about that. Some of you folks have been through great trials and great tribulations. And you see that great suffering. And if you put your suffering in a balance, and you put God's glory in a balance, what's going to happen? Not even worthy to be compared. I've seen some people who really suffered. Some of you folks right now going through great suffering. Hey, got good news for you. Someday, if you're a child of God, you're adopted, you're gonna experience the glory of God, and it's not going to even compare to the suffering. The glory is so great, the suffering doesn't even compare. Wow. Well, I told you it should be a series. We ran through it quickly. Let me ask you in conclusion, have you been adopted into the family of God? Have you got a new freedom from sin and the law? Have you got a new father? Have you got a new family? Have you been adopted? It's very possible in a crowd this size, and this is a good crowd this morning. Appreciate you being here. Be back tonight. We're having church tonight too. Sorry about that. Have you been adopted? Have you been adopted? Has God given you a new desire? Has He changed you? If you haven't been adopted, if you've not been born in the family of God, you can be today. You can be today. Jesus Christ is knocking at your heart's door. And He's saying, oh, if you will just come to me, I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll set you free from your bondage to sin and the law. That can be you today. You say, Gary, I've done that. And probably most of you have. Let me ask you a couple questions. You say, Gary, I've been adopted. I can give you the time. I can give you the date. I remember when I received Christ, I was adopted in the family of God. Let me ask you, how's your family likeness? Do you look like you belong in God's family? Do you act like you belong in God's family? Do you smell like you belong in God's family? You see, you get in God's family, it changes everything. It changes everything. And by the way, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. You may be here today and you say, Gary, I've been adopted, but I'm struggling. I am really going through it. Hey, you've got a father who can do anything. He can meet any need. He can help you no matter where you are. So what is your need today? Do you need to get into the family? You need help from the Father? You need to be encouraged through your suffering? You're a child of God. That's where all the help is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great truth, and Lord, I know there's no possible way humanly to explain it all and to understand it all, but I've tried. And God, you know the hearts of every person here today. And I pray that we would just grab onto this idea of adoption and apply it where we need to apply it in our lives today. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. I wonder, is there somebody say, Gary, boy, you've been talking to me. I'm bound by sin. I have no assurance in my heart that I'm on my way to heaven. I have no assurance that I have an inheritance coming. But I'd like to become a child of God today. I'd like to receive Christ today. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven today. If that's true of you, we'd love to pray with you. If you're saying in your heart right now, oh, Gary, that's what I need. I need Christ. I need Christ. Would you just slip up your hand, hold it there for a moment, and put it back down. You say, I need to be born in the family of God. I need to be saved. Is there one like that this morning? I wonder today if you say, Gary, I've been adopted, but boy, I'm struggling. And today, I've been encouraged by the fact that God is my Father. God can help me. Or maybe the Spirit of God has just said, you know what, your family likeness isn't very good. You're not being changed into His image. And God has pointed out a specific area in your life that needs to be changed. And you need to get that right today. I'm going to have the ladies play. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. God has spoken to your heart this morning and you need to respond. Of course, I know you can respond in your pew. But if God wants you to come and get in the altar and spend some time with Him, it may be saying, boy, Lord, Father, I need you. Boy, I need you. Or it may be, Father, I've got some areas of my life that I need to clean up. God has spoken to you, you need to come. You come on as they play. And you're not sure you're in the family, why don't you come on? We'll take a Bible. We'll help you to know that God is your Father. You can have freedom from the guilt and punishment of sin. You can be changed for all eternity. Thank you. You may look this way. Encourage you again to be back tonight. David Velasquez, our Spanish pastor, will be preaching tonight. Looking forward. I've never heard David preach. I'm looking forward to that. And let me encourage you ladies also, as you're leaving now, before you run home or run to the restaurant, stop and sign up on the bulletin board. You say, I've never been to one. This is time. It's time to try it. Come on. And jump in. You say, I don't know anybody. This is the way to get to know them. Sign up. Come on. Let's get a good... We got to have 100 ladies here Friday night. And let me encourage you to do that. The Wild Beast Feast. Don't have to sign up for that. But Jamie's up here. Raise your hand. There we go. I got one person to raise their hand for the invitation. Amen. Good. And come and talk to him. He'll be a help to you. Lord, we do thank you for the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God. Oh, man. I'm so excited about being a child of God today. Thank you, Lord, for adopting me into your family, giving me freedom from sin and the law. A new father, a new family, and oh my, what a future. God, we praise you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Yes. If you're a visitor, make sure you go to the Welcome Center. Welcome Center visitors. Good.